This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Right now, we got four people that are, you know, going to be running the baseball operation. Very respected people that they're not new for me, because between Dave and the four of them, you know, they were always around. They're always around. As a people that we really trust and we really like, and it's going to be interesting, obviously, because it's a new dynamic, but it's not, actually not that new.
It's Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox over at Fenway Park just a short time ago. Cora obviously had comments last night in the immediate aftermath of the firing of Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations over at Fenway. 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll open up the phones right away because, again, lot going on suddenly in the city of Boston. Boy, did that happen fast. In the span of about 48 hours, less. It's really about 36 hours. Antonio Brown got released by the Oakland Raiders, signed by the Patriots. The Pats went out and raised a banner, then kicked the crap out of the Steelers, and the Red Sox fired Dave Dombrowski. All in the span of about 36 hours. Not even, more like 30 hours. Pretty close. So, this is a baseball show, obviously, so we haven't had a ton of time to touch on Dombrowski. Now's your chance. 617-779-0985. There are a number of angles to this story. The most obvious which is the state of the Red Sox baseball operation and where it's all going. Before we even get to that, let me start with this. Announcing the firing of your president of baseball operations or your GM, and I'm emphasizing that word because in their press release, the Red Sox said that they and Dombrowski have quote-unquote parted ways. This is not a parting of the ways. This is a firing. Dave Dombrowski was dismissed, fired last night after the game, shortly after midnight, so call it early Monday morning. On the same night, the Patriots raised their banner and then blew out the Steelers. Dombrowski fired. That's when the Red Sox announced it. Last night. They then issued a release today and said that there will not be a press conference. So I want you to think about that. In the middle of the night, they fired their president of baseball operations. No member of ownership is around to talk about it or is available to talk about it. And worse, the manager and the players have to answer the questions about it today at Fenway Park as the Red Sox wrap up a series against the Yankees. There's only one word for this. Gutless. Gutless, gutless, gutless. This is why ownership gets a bad rap more often than not. This is why. When you pull a stunt like this, and you fire the guy in the middle of the season and you're not there to answer questions about it, that is gutless, let alone firing him in the middle of the night. Wow. Wow, is that gutless. Now, as it pertains to Dombrowski, this one gets a little complicated. Okay, so I have heard people say with regard to Dombrowski that, well, what did the Red Sox expect? When they hired him, what did they think they were getting? They were bringing in a veteran executive who had a history of ripping apart farm systems and was really nothing more than a mercenary. Dave Dombrowski's a hired gun. So the Red Sox hired him to come in, make some trades, be aggressive, and win a World Series. To which I would say true. So people now say, well, then what did they expect? How can they fire him now? And my answer would be, if you could bring in a hired gun to win a World Series, and he did, why do you have to keep them when the objectives have changed? The objectives now aren't the same exactly as they were 4 years ago. They're not. The Red Sox have different challenges and different needs now. So now if you were to say to me, based on the resume, does Dave Dombrowski deserve to be fired? My answer is no. If you were to say to me, is he the best man for the job for the Red Sox going forward? My answer, no. See you later. thanks for the title, but you effed it up in the last year, and boy, did you do some stupid crap. And I want to get to a story by Evan Drellick on The Athletic about Dombrowski's relationship with Red Sox ownership here in recent months, maybe the last year or so, because it sounds like things did get a little rocky there. And in true Red Sox fashion, they're already smearing him on the way out the door. And let me just say, and I'm going to get to your phones right away, because I see a number of you lined up already, that prior to 2004, you know what the problem always was with the Red Sox? And it was a consistent theme pretty much every year for 86 years. You know what the problem was? That the winters were more important than the summers. And in 2019, the Red Sox are now back to that. Okay, that the winter is more important than the summer. This summer is irrelevant. After a historic 2018 season, unprecedented in Red Sox history, Dave Dombrowski did something just as extraordinary in 2019. He built a team that was largely irrelevant, and it cost him his job. Just quickly, again, my personal opinion, Dombrowski, the guy who was here versus the reputation, not the same thing. Way, way overrated as an executive. He won a title here, but he did it with someone else's money and someone else's players. Let's go to Chris in the car. He kicks us off tonight. He wants to talk about what happens with Alex Cora from here. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Tony. That's what I'm worried about. So should Cora start, be a little afraid? And, Dombrowski's signings were horrible, horrible, and did nothing at the deadline. So is that Cora's fault? Or did Cora, like you said, coming out of the chute, just did not have this team prepared? What do you think?
Okay, so look, Cora's not exempt from blame as it pertains to the 2019 season, but I wouldn't fire Cora. Cora, to me, feels like a guy that's got a pretty good feel for the players in his clubhouse, particularly the Hispanic ones. Look at all those guys from the Caribbean, how they played. Eduardo Rodriguez has played well, had the best year of his career. Bogarts has had two great years since Cora got here. Rafael Devers has turned into one of the best left-handed hitters in the league. And who am I leaving out? Christian Vasquez had a career year. All four of those guys had good years under Cora. Now, who's the next GM? What will he want to do? I don't know. But you know what? Don't kid yourself. Cora wasn't Dombrowski's guy either. Cora was Henry's guy, which is why owner John Henry, which is why Cora's still here and Dombrowski's gone. Ron's a ball theme. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Mez, what's going on? Listen, I got to say, I think I read an article today about the Dombrowski, getting the boot. And it was saying that it's kind of an omen of them not re-upping Mookie or J.D. Martinez this offseason. And if that's the case, that's disgusting. And in my opinion, John Henry should be the one getting the boot, and he should have to choose between ownership of various teams.
But Ron, wait a minute. I don't understand. I don't understand what you're mad about. That you wanted Dombrowski to be able to oversee where those guys are going to go.
No. The article that I read, and I can't give you the reference. I'm in the car.
Okay, but go ahead.
The article that I read today basically said that Dombrowski getting the boot out of Boston is just a sign of what's to come, and what's to come is going to be not re-signing Mookie or JD this offseason.
Okay, so the story that you're talking about was written by Alex Spiro of the Boston Globe, and what he said was the Red Sox are in a predicament now. So I just think you get the details a little wrong, but he said they're in a predicament now because they have a case here where they don't have a lot of talent in the minor leagues. JD Martinez could opt out, and Mookie doesn't want to re-sign. So that there is a real possibility that one or both could not be back, which is true. One or both could not be back in 2020. As a result, they need an executive who can think creatively to be able to handle that and build the roster going forward. Is Dave Dombrowski that guy? My answer is no. In fact, I would tell you that until last year, I thought Dave Dombrowski was one of the most uncreative guys I've ever seen as an executive. Completely, thoroughly, boring, boilerplate, cookie cutter. As straight as it gets, I could have done the job the way Dave Dombrowski did. And that's saying something. Andrew's in Taunton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Maz. Originally, I wanted to call in and talk about how the timing and everything against the Patriots game and everything, and going back to when the Bruins did it, and too, was more of a sports talk thing. I think that it aggravates you guys more than it does the fans. But then you open the show with Cora talking about what the structure of the organization is going to look like going forward. And I thought that was weird. And it makes me question the kind of the structure and the leadership moving forward. And I guess I do agree with you guys now.
So, Andrew, well, two things. First of all, we opened the show with that because that's the freshest material. That literally just happened a little while ago. All the other Cora sound has been played over and over, although we are going to play Cora for you, what he said last night. Okay, that's coming up here in just a bit. Secondly, I would tell you, with regard to the structure of the organization, and this is an important detail, Cora has worked with those people already. Dan Shaughnessy, in the column he wrote a month ago, the one that speculated that Dave Dombrowski would not be back, and it was more than speculation. Shaughnessy clearly had inside info. Okay, in that column, Shaughnessy said that Eddie Romero is going to be the leading candidate. He's a guy on the inside that has a good relationship with Cora and that is well-respected with regard to evaluating young players. So my guess is that Eddie Romero is going to get the job. He and Cora get along fine, which is further reason why I don't think that Cora is in any sort of jeopardy. Where it goes long-term, can Eddie Romero do the job? I don't know. So I sort of look at this as two different things. One, Dombrowski's gone. Right move or wrong move? I say right move. Two, they better get the next guy right. I mean, you know, you can make the right move by firing someone and then make the wrong move by hiring the wrong person. You got to get both steps right. And it is now incumbent upon the Red Sox to get both steps right. So we'll play Cora's sound for you from last night in the event you haven't heard it. We'll also get to some of the coverage on this today, the Alex Spear story that we mentioned on bostonglobe.com, as well as an interesting item from Evan Drellick, formerly of NBC Sports Boston, that was in The Athletic this afternoon that shed some light on this whole thing. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Alex, what's your reaction to the news about Dave Dombrowski?
I mean, I just found out, so, you know, surprise and shock, obviously. Right now, I don't have too much to say. We'll talk a little bit more tomorrow, but as a guy, they gave me a chance to come here and be a big league manager, and, you know, it's one of those that they cut me, you know, they just told me, so, you know, I'm not ready to talk about it.
That was Alex Cora last night on the Dave Dombrowski firing. There's more sound coming out of Fenway Park, more information coming out of Fenway Park tonight. Red Sox wrap up that series against the Yankees. So we'll get to your calls. We'll get you to some additional commentary in the part of Cora coming out of there and a little bit of information, too. Let me just tell you, Dave Dombrowski, to me, again, wildly overrated. Once I saw him operate on a day-to-day basis, where was the creativity exactly? Last year at the deadline, I thought he did a really good job. Nathan Eovaldi, Steve Pierce, tremendous moves. The Pierce move I liked in real time. The Eovaldi move I did not. He nailed them both. They were both huge contributors in the World Series. And in the postseason, in fact, and all the way down the stretch, they were tremendous. But re-signing Eovaldi, what a colossal mistake. Re-signing Pierce, colossal mistake. Signing Chris Sale alone was a fireable offense, if you ask me. I'm not saying I would have fired him, but I think it was that bad. Which brings me to Evan Drellick in today's edition of The Athletic Online. Here's what Evan Drellick wrote. This was sometime around the middle of the day. Okay, Drellick writes, Red Sox ownership had been grappling with Dombrowski's future for some time. More than once since winning the World Series, Dombrowski asked ownership for an extension and was rebuffed. A $145 million extension for Chris Sale this spring required a push from Dombrowski to ownership in order to get done. A push that, the Athletics learned, Dombrowski did not handle smoothly. Okay, so it sounds like Dombrowski wanted a signed sale, ownership balked, and Dombrowski put the heat on them and probably threw a tantrum. Now, again, this is according to Evan Drellick. This feels like an ownership side of the story. At the end of the day, if John Henry's writing a $145 million check, that's on him. But that one smells like a rat to me, but I also think that Dombrowski, given his history, was all too eager to solve his problems by getting someone else to spend the money. Because I think that that's Dombrowski's MO. Okay, then Drellick goes on. Dombrowski's job is to control and direct processes, which are often unseen. And those processes during Dombrowski's tenure were sometimes chaotic. He did not take full advantage of the available information and resources. There were many days when functionality inside the Red Sox front office felt like a minor miracle to the people around him. That was true even as the 2018 World Series championship season unfolded. Okay, so that line. There were many days when functionality inside the Red Sox front office felt like a minor miracle to the people around him. I'll translate that for you. Dave Dombrowski didn't value anyone else's opinion. He didn't listen to them, and he made the decisions on his own. You know why? Because he's an arrogant, egomaniacal, you know, power-hungry tyrant.
You could just tell based on his press conferences that he's like that. So that news shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
I mean, really, though, Murray, right? Like, this guy had all the answers. Always. You just listened to his press conferences. He was reading his resume to you constantly. So why would he listen to anybody else? Now, again, I would tell you, that's what Dave Dombrowski was coming in. That's what he is going out. So what did the Red Sox expect? Well, that's what they expected. But the problem now is that J.D. Martinez may opt out, that Mookie Betts might need to be traded, and Dave Dombrowski doesn't feel like the right guy to do it, at least not to me. You know what I sort of equate this with? Peter Chiarelli. Peter Chiarelli won a cup, took the Bruins to another one. You know what else he did? He screwed up their farm system, and he messed up their payroll.
That's a pretty good comp.
So you know what? You know what ultimately the Bruins had to do? They had to hire a new GM that was going to rebuild them from the inside out. Now, the Red Sox aren't in as bad shape as the Bruins were, I don't think.
But in terms of their own farm system, trying to develop young pitching, that's what they're going to have to do.
So did anyone shed a tear when they got rid of Chiarelli?
No, it was celebrated. So I think certain people are still celebrating that.
Why should I shed a tear when they get rid of Dombrowski?
Mike from Woburn on line one wants to agree with you.
Okay, Dante's in Linfield. Dante, go ahead.
Hey, Maz, what I think I see happening is with the input, I think Romero's a shoo-in for the job. As you said, he's good friends with Cora. What I think I see is a Belichick-type structure going on where Cora going forward is going to have a lot more say in the actual GM operation side. It started in June. They drafted a kid in the second round out of Puerto Rico, Matthew Lugo. That was a Cora pick. I don't really agree with the Drellick piece. I think Sale was definitely an ownership signing, and I really think this is coming down to should we trade Mookie Betts or not, and I do think it's something Dombrowski pushes, and like you, he thinks they should prioritize signing J.D. Martinez.
Okay, so, yeah, Dante, that's where I am. Again, and it was Alex Spear of the Globe who wrote today that the Red Sox may not be able to keep Betts or Martinez or both. That's the way he phrased it. They may not be able to keep Betts or Martinez or both. The bigger question is, do you want Dave Dombrowski building the roster without money or prospects to trade? Look at his history. He built the championship Marlins in 97, right, with someone else's money. He built the Tigers that didn't win a world championship but were good teams through the majority of this millennium with someone else's money. This Red Sox team, he inherited a good team, then added pieces with someone else's money and someone else's prospects that he traded away. What has he ever built? What has he ever really built? So again, fine. When they brought him in, good. They needed a veteran baseball guy. I get it. Now, and the story by Spear in today's Globe begins with this question that apparently was asked by a member of the Red Sox organization. Is Dave creative enough to get us through this? Is Dave creative enough to get us through this? Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of words I would use for Dave Dombrowski. Creative is not one of them. I mean, talk about cookie cutter boilerplate GM. Craig Kimbrell, David Price, Chris Sale. I could make those evaluations. Ryan's in Belmont. Ryan, go.
Yeah, hi. I just want to, you know, how are we blaming Dave Dombrowski for this year? You know, it's not his fault that the players are going out there and, you know, they can't hit the ball and they can't throw the ball on the mound. It's, you know, if we want to blame him going forward for not fielding the right team, but this is the same team as last year. So if we're going to give him credit for last year's team, you know, we can't blame him for this year's team.
How about the bullpen?
On the players.
Ryan, how about the bullpen?
Well, the bullpen is terrible. And, yeah, he should have added maybe a piece or two. But look at the Yankees. They didn't add anyone this year. Primarily the same team. They just re-signed the guys they had.
Oh, no. That's not true. No. The Yankees did add. They added DJ LeMahieu, who's been one of the best players in the league. They added James Paxton, a left-handed starter. They added Ottavino in the bullpen, and they re-signed Zach Britton. So now Britton was there at the end of last year, but they did re-sign him. And so they reinforced their bullpen. They added to their starting rotation, and they went out and got a third baseman who's been one of the best players in the league this year. Don't say the Yankees did nothing, because that's wrong. That's wrong. Tony's in Holden. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Maz. I want to just talk about the Red Sox since, you know, even the firing of Terry Francona. They always get on the radio and say how transparent they want to be. But here, they do nothing but the opposite. And they just, like you said, do it in the dead of night when the Patriots are hanging their banner, and it's going to be a secondary story.
Tony, it's gutless. It's gutless. Cowardly, gutless, yellow, call it whatever you want. It's gutless. And again, to do it that way and then not have a press conference and leave your manager there to answer questions and leave your players there to answer questions when you fired the GM. And again, I agree with the move. I'm with the move. The move makes sense. To me, it makes sense.
At least own it, though.
But you don't come out and address it? Oh, that's so weak. It's so weak.
You leave Cora out there to take the questions from the firing squad of the local media today? It is. It's gutless. It's the right word.
I mean, so to me, this is why ownership, the Red Sox ownership, gets a really bad rap. Because they come off as gutless and weaselly. And then they leak out stuff to Evan Drellick on The Athletic. And I'm not blaming Evan. Okay, I did the job. I know what it's like. I'm not saying I was proud of everything I wrote either. Okay, so I was all up for putting the information out there. That's Evan's job. Someone gives him the information, he writes it. Okay, so I got no issue with Evan. But this is why the ownership, the Red Sox ownership, has a bad reputation, because people view them as deceitful. As deceitful. So the absence of a press conference, I just find the contrast interesting. We'll tell you how the Red Sox handled it the last time they fired a general manager. The time that brought Dombrowski to Boston after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As recently as June 2nd, you said you expected Ben Charrington to be the general manager here, quote, for a very long time. What changed in the last 2.5 months regarding your opinion of Ben's performance?
Well, a couple of things. One is that Dave became a free agent. And so we wanted to see if there was a fit. At the beginning, I did not believe that we would necessarily lose Ben as a result of this if we were successful bringing Dave aboard.
That's from four years ago now. Just thought it was worthy of playing for a couple of reasons. Number one, and I'll give you the timeline. You heard John McAdam there say as recently as June 2nd. So on June 2nd, John Henry said the Red Sox were willing to give a vote of confidence to Ben Charrington. Right after the draft that year, Dave Dombrowski was fired. And if I remember right, I think it even came after the trade deadline. The Tigers let Dombrowski run their draft, let him run the trade deadline and then fired him, which makes no sense. Okay, none whatsoever. So now you're into early August. The Red Sox sat down with Dombrowski, I believe, in Chicago, offered him the job, then gave Cherington the chance to stay. He said no. And in the middle of August, they announced Dave Dombrowski as the new GM, and they held a press conference, which they did not do today.
And they also allowed Ben Cherington to hold a press conference in the days after, because there was a discrepancy on the timeline that Dombrowski was hired and when Cherington was let go.
I mean, really, like, the whole thing. Just,
what a pig bleep.
Always with the Red Sox. Always. And in this case, I actually think it's worse. I mean, it blows me away that that they would fire him in the middle of the night like that and then not have a press conference the next day. Nobody from ownership there to answer questions. Nobody. The manager gets hung out to dry and the players. Quickly, before we get back to your calls, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's Hot, brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Home Services, rather. Mookie Betts in his last nine games, .421 average, six home runs, 10 RBI, and OPS over 1,400. He is your Rodenheiser Heat Zone performer. Not that the games matter anymore. Red Sox now eight out in the loss column for the wild card race. But the big news, of course, the dismissal of Dave Dombrowski, fired as president of baseball operations. The Red Sox will operate with a interim committee approach, including Brian O'Halloran, Eddie Romero, for the remainder of the season, and then presumably hire a new GM. If you believe what Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe wrote a month ago, the likely replacement is Eddie Romero. Okay, and again, Romero and Alex Cora, from what I understand, have a good relationship, work well together, and my guess is that's where the Red Sox are going to end up. Although there's all kinds of speculation out there. I told you, if it were me, I'd go after Theo Epstein. And I would offer him 10 years and a piece of ownership. So this is now, and I want to get to this part of it too. Tell you what, let me take Mike in Rhode Island. Let me take his call. And then I want to ask you as a fan a question, okay, regarding where the Red Sox stand in this whole thing. To me, again, Dombrowski, see you later. He was a mercenary. He was brought in to do a job. He did it. They now have a different job to do. Bye-bye. Thank you. I found him to be arrogant and insufferable. Overrated. That's what I found him to be. But he did win a World Series. To me, he did it spending someone else's money and using someone else's players and prospects. But whatever, he won it. Okay? He gets the ring. But boy, overrated. Mike's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Maz, totally overrated. He took over a team with a bunch of young, good players on rookie contracts. He had one of the best farm systems in baseball. He had the number one Baseball America person in McConnor and number two in Benintendi. He makes trades that are obvious. Yeah, he trades for Sale, but does he give away McConnor? No, he gives out McConnor and Kopech. Then on top of it, he trades everybody else away. He gives everybody humongous contracts. I hope that we don't end up being the Tigers, where we're looking at 3 to 4 years of having nothing, because he's left us with huge contracts on hurt pitchers, and he left us with nothing in the farm system. Where are we going from here? And the answer is, go look at Baltimore and go look at Detroit.
Okay, so Mike, they're not that bad. They're not that bad. They still have Devers. They still have Eduardo Rodriguez. They have Bogart signed to a new contract. They're not going to be as bad as those teams. So let's not get ridiculous. It's not that dire a situation. But they're going to lose Mookie or J.D. Martinez or both. Someone's going. They have no payroll flexibility and they have no farm system. So their farm system, which was ranked among the best in the game when Dombrowski took over, is now one of the worst. The highest prospect that they have in the Baseball America Top 100 is number 61. And it's a kid in A-ball, Tristan Cassius, who they took in the draft in 2018. But my question to you as a Red Sox fan is this. Because again, the Dombrowski part of it, I don't hear anybody fighting for Dave Dombrowski. I don't hear anybody that wants Dombrowski to stay. Not one. If you're out there, I'd love to hear from you and why. Because, again, to me, time for Dombrowski to go. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thanks for the championship. You know, again, if I'm the Red Sox ownership, I look at it and said, you did what we thought you'd do, but now before it gets worse, we're going to get rid of you. So, again, thanks for the title. Bye-bye. Fine. I'm okay with that. But now let's just look at it from the other side, because the Red Sox are not exempt from blame here. Let me ask you a very simple question. Murray, I'd love your answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, it is my belief that the Red Sox are still one of the premium organizations in baseball. I mean, when you look at sort of real, you know, classic franchises in baseball, there's maybe a half dozen of them. The Yankees, the Cubs,
Dodgers
and Giants, the Red Sox. And then where you want to go from there
Cardinals.
Is...
Cardinals.
Okay, Cardinals is another good one. Okay? Then after that, it gets kind of gray. Indians, they don't win a lot. But they've been around a long time. But the other ones, they all win. And they're all classic, long-standing franchises. A team like that should have an elite general manager. High-profile, big-name executive and manager. So if you're one of those guys, if you are Theo Epstein, if you are Billy Beane, if you're Brian Cashman or Andrew Friedman, would you come to work in Boston when they fired two GMs within 2 years after winning a World Series? Would you work here?
No, I wouldn't. No, not unless. And I don't even know if I've already made a mountain of money. If you're someone like Theo Epstein, who has the resume that he has and has had the accomplishments he's had and he's made a ton of money, does that really matter? It would. For someone like that, I think... You would need to know you have full autonomy. You're not going to be fired if you have a couple of down years. And you even mentioned it during the afternoon show. A stake in ownership would help, too. Because otherwise, screw. Because I don't like what I've seen gone on here in the last 5 to 6 years.
So, again, to me, it's got to be one of those. Like, I want that type of guy running the Red Sox. I want that type of guy running it. You know, now, look, is Eddie Romero the next Theo? I don't know. Maybe. If they can find the next Theo, I'm good with that. I got no issue with that. What I don't want is some transient hack who has run some, you know, middle market team and then is going to come here and doesn't know what the F he's doing. I have no interest in that whatsoever. Like, they got to have someone who has a clue. But if you want to get a Theo or a Bean, if I'm Theo or I'm Bean, and again, and this point was made, by the way, in Drellick's column in The Athletic, which I encourage everybody to read. Red Sox ownership, ooh, they like, remember before they hired Theo, they went after Billy Beane. Right? Henry went after Dombrowski. Larry Lucchino went after Bobby Valentine. Theo is the one that hired Francona. So the point is, they like their superstars. They even like their superstar executives. And if I were that kind of guy, why would you work for an owner who has fired his last two GMs within 2 months of winning, 2 years of winning the World Series? Why would you want to work for that guy? And if you did, the only way you're going to agree to it is with basically a bulletproof contract that gives you 10 years and a piece of ownership. If I were a GM, I'd be asking for both of those things from Red Sox ownership. That's the hit the Red Sox are going to take in this thing.
Tony, worth remembering that Theo walked away a year after winning a World Series because there was this huge dispute and then had to be begged back.
So, Jimmy, there's that too. It's an excellent point by you. And then ultimately, Theo was under contract and wanted to leave and went to the Cubs. So Theo didn't leave once. Theo left twice. Tim's in a car. Tim, go.
Yeah, hey, Maz, I'm disgusted by this, both in terms of how they handled it, you know, with the midnight firing during the Patriots game and all that after the Patriots game. And then also now management turning around and bad-mouthing Dombrowski, you know, try to cover their tracks. This is just the way they've handled themselves several times in the past. Here's my question to you.
So, Tim, this is where they do the damage to him, but just quickly, go ahead.
Well, you made the point that Dombrowski spends everybody else's money. True, but show me a big-time GM who doesn't. Theo spent plenty of Red Sox manager ownership money through his first
No question. So. He absolutely did, but at least he also developed his own players. Okay, he did both. He did both is my point. You come to a big market, one of the real advantages is the money. I get that. Who wouldn't want that? But Theo also developed players. He did both, and the Red Sox should do both. So you know what? You want to say to me, Maz, who's the guys that Dombrowski traded that really came back to bite him in the ass, other than Cotta, for whom you got Sale? I would tell you relatively nobody, okay? Maybe Travis Shaw. But beyond that, did Dombrowski replace them? Did he build the farm system up? Dan's in Hingham. Quickly, Dan.
Yes, I was just calling, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. That I basically didn't like Dombrowski as much as you did, but I was just curious to find out, like, how long is it going to take to build up the farm system? I feel like whether it's Dombrowski or somebody else, it's going to take a few years. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
So, look, it is going to take a while. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that happens overnight. So you got to have good drafts. You have to make shrewd decisions. And you have to hit on the free agent market with lesser price guys who fit your system. Someone's actually going to have to get creative and make some hard, good decisions. How about that? Dombrowski, again, look, he won a title. I don't want to take away from that. A championship's a championship. But the moves? Oh, come on. Who could? And we all could have made those. Kimbrel, Sale, J.D. Martinez. We all could have made that one, Jimmy. Who didn't want J.D. Martinez?
Me.
I didn't want him either, actually. So that was a pretty good move. I was rooting for Giancarlo Stanton at the time. But you get the idea.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.